If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I changed courses in the middle of the stream here. We're going to speak about prayer. Mount Zion, as small as we are, yet we have many needs as a church, as a people of God. Our own spiritual condition, our own spiritual walk with God, our families that we love and we cherish, our friends that we contact daily in our daily walk in life that we meet who have prayers and requests that they bring to our attention. Sisters like Sister Sharon Peterson, who has broken her leg, that we know as a dear sister in the Lord that we can bring before the Lord in prayer. Others that you know who may have cancer and different diseases, that we can take time to go before the throne of grace and pray for those. Those who used to be members here who have moved to various locations. Claire and Ron, who are in Texas. Chuck and Kathy and his children who are in Mississippi. Greg, and who is in Huntsville, Alabama. And we thank God that the Lord has brought Jeff and his family our way. He was in Indiana now. And for others, Mary and Ruth, who are in Tennessee, and others who have came our way who in different areas. But we can still pray for them. Pray for the needs. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 gives a beautiful illustration of prayer. Begin reading with verse 7. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Always amazes me when you think about this. You take the word ask. A-S-K. And what do you come up with? A-S-S-Seek-K-Knock. Now the Lord, having all wisdom when He put this together like this, He knew that. He knew that. That's a good way to remember what this verse is teaching you. When you think about asking, seeking, knocking. First, you go to the Lord about something and you ask. That's how we usually do. We go before the Lord and we ask something. And then, after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, according to how desperate we are to get an answer, we start seeking in His Word. We start seeking by talking to others and having others pray for us. And then we come to the point where we come before the throne of grace and we start knocking. We really become serious now. We started off simply asked. Then we intensified. We started seeking more. We really want the Lord to answer this prayer. Then we come in desperate for an answer, and we're knocking at God's throne. Verse 8 says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." You will receive an answer, whether it be yes, or no, or wait. Now, I like the yes and no. It's much easier. The waiting is difficult. Just like Sister Christina and Matt, waiting to find God's will for their lives in a home, selling their home, the waiting. Because basically, we are very impatient people. And that's why God teaches us in the fruit of the Spirit is to be long-suffering with each other. Because we are human beings. We're still sinners. We're still sinful. You need to exercise patience when dealing with Brother Rhodes. Because sometimes Brother Rhodes isn't where he should be, when he's not where he should be, you need a lot of grace to exercise a lot of patience toward me. And that's what we need for each other. We must remember in our contact with each other in a church relationship, and plus in your family relationship, that you need to exercise grace with patience. It's easy to talk about the things of God. It's easier to preach about the things of God than to practice the things of God as a minister. It's difficult. But we need to pray for the Lord to make a reality in our lives the fruit of the Spirit, love. That's what I was going to speak on tonight. And then this prayer, with all the blessings that's going on in among our midst here, I just want to refresh our memories in prayer, how we need to continue asking. And in the Greek, that means keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Keep on. Don't stop. Keep it up. I pray that these young boys, Joey and Vincent, will learn this lesson while they're young, that prayer, God is a prayer-answering God. And when they have a need in their life, they can go to mother and dad. Yes, they should. But they can also go to Jesus Christ and pray to God. And God is their elder brother. Jesus Christ is their elder brother. And to learn in your young years of your life that you can go to God and God answers your prayers. What a blessing that would be to a young person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And he illustrates this. He says, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, would he give him a serpent? He says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, now listen to this, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Now, what does it say in the book of James? You have not, because you what? Ask not. Ask not. But He does qualify that. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. How many times do we go to God in prayer saying, well, I know God won't answer this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Now, is that praying in faith? No. We're wavering even before we even asked. We find a promise in God's Word. We claim that promise, and we go to the Lord in prayer. Now, there's some things you can take before the Lord. God promised to do it. What was one of the things He promised to do? To never leave us, to never forsake us. You don't have to say, Lord, I pray that you won't leave me or forsake me, because He's already promised He never would. But there are some things in your life, the things that are not gray and black or white and black, they're kind of gray. What is the will of God for my life? Now, sometimes that's not so clear to a Christian, especially young ladies and young men like Carl, his girlfriend, and other young people. It's hard sometimes. What is God's will? Like Matthew, he's praying about this job situation here. It's not so clear sometimes to know what God's will is for your life. We say, what should we do, Brother Rhodes? First of all, you go to God in prayer. Secondly, I know it's hard for young people to do this today, but go to your parents for counsel. Ask their advice. Mother, Dad, what would you do in this situation? What do you think about the situation? Thirdly, you could ask your ministers, your pastors, what do you think about this situation? What should we do? There is safety in counselors when you talk to those who've experienced life. But the thing you want to do as a young person, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and He's made you a new creature in Christ Jesus and He's cried into your heart, Abba, Father, is that you can ask, You can seek and you can knock, and God promised that he that asketh receiveth. That's a promise. There's your promise. He that seeketh shall find it. There's the promise. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. God promises you. See, he gives you some information in verse 7. He gives you his commitment and promises in verse 8. How simple. But how much, how often do we neglect the simplicity of these verses? You know, the Apostle Paul says, don't let Satan turn you away from the simplicity that there is in Christ. You don't have to be a great theologian to pray. It does help to know the Scriptures, is to read the Word of God, because we claim the promises of God. We're to pray in faith. We're to pray in faith. And then remember that God gives good things. Good things. And that reminds me of in the book of James. I pray that God will stir up our hearts to really be fervent in prayer. James chapter 1. James says this in verse 17. Every good gift. Who gives good gifts? The Father. And every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we know that good things come from God the Father. Good things, good blessings in our life. God's spiritual blessings, financial blessings, temporal blessings, good health. These are all in the hands of God, beloved. He goes on to say in this same chapter, in verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. Verse 5. Ask of God. Now, this is an area where each one of us need wisdom. As ministers, we need wisdom. As parents, we need wisdom. As our children ask us questions, we need wisdom. And what does he go on to say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Ask, seek, and knock of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be what? Given him. But he goes on to give a little more information on the prayer. But let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. It's difficult to say that I'm praying in faith and I'm biting my fingernails at the same time. You know, I trust the Lord, but boy, I can't get these fingernails out of my mouth. You know, you're like a double-minded man. You believe and you don't. You believe and you don't. You need to be praying, Lord, increase my faith. That's what the disciples, apostles, pray for. Lord, increase our faith. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, there's times in our lives when we're like that. Sometimes we can go through trials. There's certain trials that we go through where we're tossed to and fro. One minute we think this. Next minute we think that. Next minute, seem like we got trust and faith in God. Next minute we seem to be so doubtful. That's common to all of us. Sometimes we say, oh, I wish I was like the preachers. They don't have these problems like we have in the pew. No, ours is much more greater than yours, because we're at the point where Satan really attacks us. That's why we covet your prayers. We covet you to pray for us. He says, verse 7, "But let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord until you know what you need." And you have a promise of God, and bring that promise on before the throne of grace, and believing that you're going to receive it. You're asking, you're seeking, and you're knocking, and you're determined to get an answer from God. Then God will answer, because you're praying in faith. The evidence of praying is faith is that you don't pray today and forget about it and never pray again. You're really burdened with something. You're going to keep asking, you're going to keep seeking, and you're going to keep knocking until God says yes or no, or God says wait, or He answers it. See, that shows you the attitude of your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to really realize that we need to ask in faith. Ask in faith. And what does Christ teach us over in John? We're to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray in His name. He goes on to say in John chapter 14 and verse 13. If you have an opportunity sometimes, especially the young people here, read John 13, 14, 15, and 16, and 17. What blessed chapters those are. But in this chapter, chapter 14, he says in verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask," now always remember, when you hear the word ask, seek, knock. "In my name," in the name of Jesus Christ, "that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now remember that the same John who wrote John's Gospel wrote the first epistle of John, and he says in the first epistle of John, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So what are one of the conditions of praying in faith? Praying according to the revealed will of God. You don't have to pray, "Lord, should I sin today?" Because God has told us not to sin. Sin not. "Lord, should I love the world today?" We don't have to pray about that. God says, "Love not the world." See, there's some things you don't have to pray about. It's a given. The Lord's already showed us His will. We're not to love the world. And that's why it's important to read the Scriptures, to know what we don't have to pray about. Some things you don't pray for. "Should I kill my neighbor, Lord?" No. God said, "Thou shalt not kill." "Should I steal my neighbor's dog?" No. "Thou shalt not steal." "Should I bow down to this tree and worship this tree?" No. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." See, we could pray according to God's revealed will. There are some things we don't have to pray about. And this is what's difficult for young people at times. Christians should date Christians. Because when your heart is captured, love of a man, or a young man, or a young woman, the heart controls the brain, instead of the brain controlling the heart. So what's a good example? God says, "Be not unequally yoked together with" what? "Unbelievers." So believers should court each other. An unbeliever and a believer courting, you're asking for trouble. So when I pray about something, so I ask myself this question. I'm a young person. "Lord, is this person the mate that you brought into my life?" You can ask yourself that question. Then you can ask yourself the question, if both of you, neither one of you are making professions of faith or have not come to a knowledge of salvation, then you're equal. But if one is born again, a believer, and one is not a believer, then it's very clear what you're to do. You're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I know this is difficult. I know many, many young people that I've known who went against that. They went against it. They rebelled. They said, "No, I love this person." See, there's where the emotion controls the thinking. But if we as God's people will make our decisions date those who are believers, love those whom God loves, we will have a more peaceful, unstressful life. Now, sometimes it works. A believer marries an unbeliever, and the unbeliever is brought to salvation. But it doesn't always work. I know a lot of young girls that I knew in my life who married unbelieving husbands, praying that God would convert them later on. It never happened. And they have lived miserable lives. This is just an example I'm giving you about praying according to the will of God. It's practical. It's easy to understand, but not easy to practice. I'm praying about buying a new Mercedes. $185,000. Convertible. Coupe. But I have $20,000 in my bank account. And I owe $25,000 in credit cards. And I'm praying about, Lord, should I buy this car? Lord, you know I want that car. I want that beautiful sports car. Well, I want it. But what is God's will? No. Because you don't have the means to buy it. Plus, you have debt already. This is how we should make our decisions. I just use that as an example. Because a lot of young people today are getting themselves in trouble by not using practical principles of buying things that they cannot afford to buy. We're living in an age of debt. And what's behind that? Greed. Selfishness. I want my own way. I'm going to have my own thing. And that's why we're in a mess in America that we're in today. United States of America. Greed. Selfishness. And we're witnessing the judgment of God upon our nation. What's wrong with our nation? It's God's judgment is upon America. Will we come out of this? I don't know. I know that God promises that my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and confess their sins. God said I would heal the land. That principle is true today. Beloved, we need to pray. This is just a few thoughts on prayer. Just practical things. I may continue it later on if the Lord leads me. Prayer is such a wonderful, wonderful gift of God to us. I remember the apostles when the Lord was praying and they stopped him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. I feel so insignificant when it comes to prayer. I feel that one of the weakest areas of my Christian life is prayer. And it should be my strongest. It should be your strongest. May God stir up our hearts to pray. Young people, I know when you're young, your mind's on so many things. I can remember when I was a young person quite a while ago. I never thought about these things, but I didn't really know the Lord the way I should have known Him. We have a God that we can ask and seek and knock, no matter how young we are, if we are a believer. There is a qualification. Believer. If God's manifested Himself to you and you're a believer, you have the right to ask God for things that are in His Word according to His will. May we pray. Our most gracious and holy God, as we come before Thy throne of grace, Lord, thank You for my Zion. Thank You for each member. Thank You for all the blessings that we have experienced in the last 20 years or more on answered prayer on our behalf. You've been faithful to us. And You're still faithful to us. Thank You for what You've done even the last 2 weeks. All the prayers that went up and the answered prayer. And how You're continuing to answer prayer. And that You will continue answering our prayers as we ask, as we seek, and as we knock before the throne of grace. And Lord, we give You the praise. And may You stir up our hearts. Be with those who are not here tonight. We love them and we miss them. We pray that You'll stir their hearts if they're able to be here or not. And if they're not able, Lord, we understand. Pray that You'll give them grace and strength. Be with us now as we go our different ways, and may you bless us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?